I wondering about the avijja. What's the difference about the avijja and moha? As my understanding, that avijja is also ignorant, and moha is also ignorant. But there is some different aspect between avijja and moha. And I think the same aspect is not understanding about the reality which arises now. So what's the difference between the avijja and moha?
Actually, no difference at all, but I wonder why you think there is some difference.
Because I think that every moment without understanding the reality is avijja, but not every moment is the moha.
When you say every moment, what about at the moment of seeing consciousness, like seeing now? Is there avijja or moha?
Actually, no.
No avijja, no moha, but no kusala. So not every moment when there is no kusala is there avijja or moha. Because seeing consciousness, no avijja, no moha. What about the moment before seeing the sense door adverting consciousness? Is there moha or avijja there?
No, what because about, vipika,
it's vipika. Kriyachitta.
Yeah.
What about after seeing consciousness, the sampaticca, the santirana chittas? Is there any avijja or moha?
Yes, because it arises with akusala chitta.
No, it's just vipaka chitta, which is without roots, ahetuka, without any roots. So many moments when there is no avijja or no moha. And what about when akusala chittas arise in that sense door process, like at moments of attachment, moments of aversion, or moments of just ignorance? Is there moha or avijja at those moments?
With ignorance, so it's moha.
Is there any avijja at that moment of attachment?
Yes.
Yeah, just exactly the same. Just we use different words in different contexts. So, for example, if we're talking about paticca samuppada, we use the word avijja. If we're talking about the different chetasikas, we talk about moha. But it's exactly the same reality. So if we consider when they arise and what the quality is, what the characteristic is, no difference at all.
You said that sometimes there's one but not the other. Could you give an example?
Sometimes that I think the avijja is conditioned to arise wrong view at that time, because at the moment of not understanding the reality, maybe it can have the wrong view at that time. So it also have the avijja at that time.
Moments of wrong view, moments of any kind of attachment, there must be avijja. Is there moha at that moment of wrong view?
I'm not sure, because I cannot understand.
Exactly the same. So any moment of akusala, moha is there. It just means ignorance, not understanding. So no matter what kind of akusala it is, moha must be there as a root. It's a root of all akusala chittas.
Sometimes in some context, one term is used, like the jetasika is moha jetasika. Although we don't call it avijja jetasika, it's still the same reality. When we talk about avijja, for example, in dependent origination, it still refers to moha jetasika. So always the same reality.
I understand where you're coming from, because there are so many different words used sometimes, like in the case of panya, which is referred to as amoha. So it's just understanding the context that these different words are used in that can lead to some sort of confusion at times. But it's been spoken, as Jonathan has just said, sometimes we're talking about avijja, we're talking about ignorance, which is the opposite of wisdom. So, yeah, it's coming to understand how the words are used and the context that they're used in.
For example, that when Akusala arise. At that time, it's no moha. But
what about now, this moment? For example, we talked about doubt yesterday, this moment of not being sure of it's when moha. There's doubt. Is there moha at that moment?
Yes, it's
there
moha.
Is. Yeah. At this moment of attachment, maybe, attachment to the sound of the birds, this moment of attachment now, is there moha?
Attachment is not moha.
What
attachment
is
it? Is the dosa. It's dosa.
When there's attachment?
Loba, sorry.
Loba, when loba. There's loba. So when at moments of loba, is there any moha at that moment?
Yes. Because I just know in or heard about the theory, so I'm not sure.
So at the moment now of loba, is there any understanding of anything?
No.
Is there any kusala of any kind?
No, it's akusala.
It's akusala. So whenever the citta is akusala, moha must be there. It arises with all akusala cittas. So there's always moha together with loba.
How about when dosas arise?
So when dosa arises, is there any kusala?
No, it's no. Akusala.
Akusala. So is moha there?
Yes.
Must be there. No understanding, no knowing of anything wholesome at all. So it's there at each moment of unwholesomeness. Actually, it doesn't matter whether you call it moha or avijja or anything else, but at that moment, at this moment now, at this moment of attachment, or at this moment of doubt, or at this moment of aversion, moha must be there. So it arises with every moment of loba, with every moment of dosa, and even when it's akusala, but no loba, no dosa, still moha is there. Sometimes with doubt and sometimes without doubt.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just add an additional question on the moha. It is appear now? I mean the moha. Loba is seem is appear, but not appear well. But moha, it is appear now?
You tell me, does it appear now?
It's supposed to be appear.
Usually just thinking about it, so it doesn't appear as, it's not obvious like loba or dosa. That's why usually no one knows about the moha. It's covered up. People might think they are very calm and not so much attachment, not so much aversion, but what about the hidden moha? So common. Immediately after seeing or hearing, if there's no attachment or aversion, moha is there almost all the time.
When discussion in Vietnamese, we're talking about the characteristic the when moha appear, like the wondering or not very clear something, or like sleepy, don't know anything about things, something like that.
Please, don't forget, we learn each word to understand now. Otherwise, we cannot understand what we are talking about. For example, avijja. So, do you know seeing right now?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yes.
Really?
Not
just heard not about
yet.
It, but you know, really, now, seeing now.
Seeing now appear.
Do you know it as
not
it is?
Yet,
not yet. That is avijja, right? Not understand the truth of reality. It appears but as something, not as it is. That's why we learn to understand no matter how many words, many books, just to understand that which appears as it is now. Otherwise, there is avijja. Right?
Yeah.
And there are so many aspects of reality, no matter it is avijja or lopa or whatever, different words. Just try to help anyone who can understand that word in the language to understand what it's meant, of what level. For example, there is avijja now. Who knows? Because avijja cannot understand avijja. It cannot know avijja. But when there is attachment, do you know that there is avijja? At moment of being attached, do you know?
No.
But it's the cause or the root. That's why we use different word. Moha, mula, citta. Have you heard the Pali term?
It means rooted in, so the citta rooted in it.
Mula in Pali, moha, mula, citta. No matter you translate in Thai or in English or whatever, but avijja is there. But it is the root to condition lopa, attachment, to arise. So what is known is, it can be known, is lopa. Is that right?
Yeah.
So this is the different words, just to make it be known as the aspect, different aspect of our reality. What else can be used for moha and avijja? Kun Sundra, is there any word?
No, there was an... if I can just go back to... Sarah, you said it can arise without... Just before I continue, Ajahn. Before you said, Ajahn, Sarah, when you said with doubt and without doubt, I was not following that clearly.
Apart from the lobha mula cittas and the dosa mula cittas, there are two kinds of moha that arise without lobha or dosa of any kind. And one of these arises together with doubt, which we were talking about yesterday, and one arises without. So for example, like, is there seeing now? There's moha at that moment, and it may be with doubt at that moment, or maybe just moha, but no doubt at that instant.
Okay, it's a little bit clearer, thank you. I can't really add too much to that, Ajahn, but I think it's always going to depend upon the context. As is being elaborated here, that sometimes, like we talk about, it can be confusing. But I think Ajahn very rightly brought us back to the reality that appears and asking us about, is there avijja now? That's always very helpful for me. Thank you.
So if there's no lopa, no dosa right now, what is there? See? What is there? Not knowing, it is avijja. So when lopa arises, it is the avijja is the root as moha. We use moha, mula citta, because it's not that which usually is there. It does not appear until there's something arises with it, like lopa or dosa. So avijja is the root for that moment to be with attachment or with dosa. That's why we use different words, but the reality is the same. What is there when there is no lopa and dosa? Please answer. What is there? Do you know? So it's avijja which doesn't know that it's moha there, or other citta like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So we learn to understand the teachings just to understand reality as it is anytime, when it becomes the object. Otherwise, it does not appear well, like we say. Many moments of visible object is gone already. Other reality, citta and cittasikas, not appear well. So the point is that each word of the teaching is so real, so true, that it's not just the word. It can be the direct understanding, little by little, until what he said, like all conditions, reality, are conditioned to arise and fall away. See, each word has to be directly experienced. Otherwise, there'll be always the self, atta, of five khandhas, all the time. Which I do not mean seeing or hearing at all, but when we use all the time, because it's there all the time. As anusya or asva or whatever, it can appear. Does asva appear now? See, but it's there. That's why we learn to know how much ignorance is accumulated from moment to moment. So right understanding has to accumulate from moment to moment to understand that which hasn't been understood before.
When there's wrong view, is there any doubt, Sundara, at that time? And when there's anger, any doubt?
No.
So it just arises with the moha mula cittas, and for the sotapanna, no more doubt, so then only one kind of moha mula citta.
Sarah, can you, if I heard correctly, you asked if there is wrong understanding at this moment. Is there doubt?
If there is wrong understanding at this moment,
yes,
or any moment, is there doubt at that time? When there is wrong understanding, is there any doubt?
I'm going to say yes.
Why do you think there is doubt when there is wrong understanding?
Why do I think there's doubt as well? Okay, I guess I'm trying to think this through. I'm just thinking with wrong understanding, there is a view that there is a self. There's no understanding of anatta. So I can see now that how it's not doubt, it's just completely wrong.
Is it at that moment of wrong view when one is sure that what is touched is a table, is there any hesitation, any questioning?
No.
The wrong view is convinced at that moment,
right,
that it's the strong view at that moment, so no doubt. And the same at moment of dosa, for example,
mm-hmm,
when there's anger. I'm just giving extreme examples,
yes,
but when there's anger and one's mad at this or that, any doubt about the object? Not those moments. No.
So it arises with
ignorance. So ignorance is there, those moments,
yes,
of wrong view and dosa, but not doubt.
Okay, I think I see. Because when these other things happen, it's there. It's clear. Not as in appearing well, but yes, you're right. If there's no doubt as to whether there's anger, strong anger when there's strong anger. Doubt can't arise with kusala. It can only arise with akusala. So are you saying then that doubt can only arise with moha?
It has to arise,
With moha
cittas. Like now, when there's uncertainty,
yes,
right now, it's just with ignorance,
yes,
at that moment.
Okay, and then there also, I think as Jonathan said, can be moments without doubt. Ignorance without doubt. Okay, thank you.
After seeing, when there's no attachment, usually ignorance is there, but maybe no doubt at those moments.
Okay, thank you.
So it comes back to now. And I think I was told that Tai wanted to ask about doubt also.
Because last night we had a small discussion among the Vietnamese group, and one of the topic is about doubt, and Tom explained that in the document that it's just talking about doubt about reality and the way to the way for the triple gym. So I wondering if only doubt about the triple gym, then there's a before the Buddha enlightenment, then there's no any doubt cetasika to arise because there's no three gems before. Sorry, is it clear that my...
I think that even if one's never heard about the triple gem, there can be doubt. So
this question is whether there can be
common chetasi.
Doubt about the triple gem, right?
Yes, because yes. Thambak said that in the documentary or maybe in the citta that in the sutta that said that only doubt about the reality about the triple gem, not about the normal thing.
There can be doubt about any object that is experienced.
Just one example, like now, maybe doubt about seeing because one's just heard about seeing, or doubt about what doubt is because one's talking about it. But these are just examples now.
But I think your example is not doubt about the reality that's appearing. It's doubt about a conceptual matter. Right? So if one has never heard of something, one can't have doubt about that something. That's just standard.
Do you
have any comment, Tim? Because
do you doubt about the wisdom of the Buddha? Tripurjan, this is one.
No, for my thinking.
Do you doubt about the enlightenment?
Logically, no.
Impossible. What is the first truth of the Four Noble Truths?
Dukkha.
Is there any doubt?
No.
So you are Arahata. No doubt about this moment?
This moment, yes, but from experiences.
It's the second gem, the teachings of the Buddha, leading to enlightenment, right? Any doubt?
I don't know.
See. So doubt arises with ignorance.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that is doubt.
I think the reason why Thay made that comment was because during the discussions, Lee asked the question about other kind of doubts, like, okay, should I go to the left or should I go to the right? Is it that doubt the same than the doubt that is mentioned?
But it's not doubt about realities. Just thinking about something and has doubt, but no doubt about realities anymore.
And I think sometimes that the translation can confuse, like the word vicikicca literally means to be uncertain. It's a function of wobbliness or it's uncertainty. So when that idea of doubt, it's quite common and we can confuse it with other concepts, but understanding the reality of vicikicca, I believe, is different from the conceptual understanding of the word doubt. But the more we can understand reality as it appears, there'll be less and less conditions for doubt. Doubt will still arise, as I understand it. Doubt will continue to arise until Sotapattimagga, but I personally prefer the word uncertainty, but however, it doesn't matter.
I think the gist of this discussion is we all know that the Sotapanna no longer has doubt, so there's no more vicikicca arising for all the enlightened ones. But in the case, for Arya who subtly is not sure about whether he should go left or right. So what cittasika does that function? I think that is the main concern.
Well, not vicikicca for sure. So just a moment of unwholesome thinking, maybe dosa.
But if an arahat still
an arahat,
has that uncertainty about...
Well, it wouldn't be agusala in that case.
You just don't know what it is.
Just thinking. Just ordinary thinking. He may think, where did I leave my toothbrush? Just ordinary thinking. No need to give it a special name. No need to try and pinpoint exactly what.
It would seem then if one had never heard the teachings, heard about realities, even considered about realities, when vichikicca is doubt about realities, those who have never heard the Dhamma, heard the teachings, vichikicca would not arise. I guess I'm asking if that's correct.
I think that's a good question, Anne.
What about when one thinks, is there God? What is life? Is this the right way? Is there really a soul? Vichikicca, doubt is there.
What is real right at the present moment?
I'm sorry?
You could still think, what is real at the present moment?
Okay. I'm thinking about the, you know, the soul, the afterlife, that kind of thing. It's wrong thinking.
Will I be reborn?
Yes, that's ditti.
Doubt
as well with the ignorance. Not doubt about realities, though. Doubt about thank you. Doubt about concept.
And also because samatha could be developed without the Buddha's teaching, so doubt
yes.
about whether kusala or akusala.
Okay. Thank
doubt
you.
About whether it was jhana that was attained, doubt uh-huh, about
yes,
whether...
Yes, yes, yes.
So that doubt it about was really metta or not, or kindness or not, or doubt about whether giving is good or not to this being.
Right, I see that. I was taking it very narrowly in terms of realities. But you're right, doubt about concepts. Okay, thank you.
I have a question, please. About doubt, would that be, I'm tempted to ask if chedana, the volition, is weak, but maybe it's another one about decisiveness, about which way to go, or...
Usually like thinking, should I turn left or right, or will it be sunny, or will it rain this afternoon? Should I take an umbrella or not? This is just usually just thinking with attachment, thinking with ignorance, thinking with dosa, as usual, different from the doubt about what life is, will there be rebirth, is there a God? But doubt can, I think it can arise commonly any time, so only when it appears can it be known.
One other comment, although I know very little, have very little in the way of intellectual understanding about Dhamma, Buddhist teaching, what little is there, there isn't doubt because of what is there makes sense and works and is applied. So maybe that's faith I'm touching on here, Satya, that there's a quality of faith in the Buddhist teachings.
A faith based on what?
What I already know, what
yes,
I've already learned.
Confidence.
Yes, yeah. Confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a comment anymore because I was just going to comment that the questions like where do we come from or where are we going after death arise all over the world, all times. they don't need the Buddha's teaching for having those kind of questions.
And I think also, like Ajahn has been stressing, the path is more and more subtle. So we may think that now there's lots of confidence in the Buddha's teaching, no doubt about the way. But I think doubt is quite very common, like, what is this karma at this moment, or what kind of karma, or when will it bring its result, or is this result the result of karma? I think doubt can come in so commonly. What is exactly doubt? There can be doubt at that very moment.
As long as there is I, so the Sotapanna Makkhacitta eradicates the doubt.
Because no more wrong idea of self, but while there's the idea of I, even while studying Dharma, then doubt is bound to arise.
And what about in the cases of people who believe a certain doctrine, like for example they believe that after death, we go to heaven or whatever, that they believe the doctrine, and so they have no doubt about life anymore.
Right? Impossible, as long as there is no understanding of this moment.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point, Rotti, that people who say they've got no doubt, that's where I think the word, the translation, can be quite misleading, because they say they have no doubt, but we know that people can say anything they like. So whether it's true or not, that's a completely different matter. So that usually is just with a lot of ignorance, really, but yeah, they can say anything ultimately, even though they say they've got no doubt. But there is bound to be doubt, the potential for doubt to arise, as we know it in the Pali, the vichikicca.
So vichikicca is, as long as there is I, there must be vichikicca. And this is, doesn't matter if we are Buddhists or Christians or Muslims. There must, as long as there is, as Ajahn was saying, as long as there is I, vichikicca must arise. Even if don't know about dhammas and citta and cetasikas, vichikicca is. It's a Dhamma, it's a reality. And if one is not a Sotapanna, for sure there is a heart, there is I, and then it must arise by conditions, whenever there are conditions for it. Whenever there is thinking about the self, which actually, since there is no self, there must be some doubts about what is taken for the self.
Anyone can answer.
I think Ha and Gern, did you have questions too?
No, just want to clarify if I understand correctly about the doubt. The doubt, we discuss a lot about what the doubt about the reality only, right? Not about the concept. Okay.
Can have realities or concept as object of doubt, thinking with doubt about realities or concepts. Like, is there a soul now? Will I be reborn? No, but it's just thinking about an idea, it's not about reality. But right. It's because of not understanding realities as dharmas that there is that thinking about what will happen to me. Is there something here?
But let's say the question, today is 22 or 23, something like that, not Tao, right? Just to be sure. Okay.
And The object of doubt can also be a concept. Is that right? Also be a concept?
Yeah, I think so. Because for those who haven't studied about the teachings, it must be like thinking about concepts.
Yes. I thought about...
Is this really me? Is there something here? It's concepts.
That's right, yeah. I thought about thinking about some worldly things. Like the example was, should I turn right or left? Is that really doubt? I thought it was just thinking about concepts, not doubt.
I think it's just thinking with ignorance, yeah. Thinking with worry, thinking...
Yes, so we have to distinguish between that. Or I had an example a long time ago, shall I travel again? Because traveling is difficult for me. And you reminded me, it is thinking about me and my problems, but not really
thinking
doubt.
With worry. Thinking yeah. with worry. So when rather. It's thinking with worry, it's yeah. not doubt, different, yes.
It's different.
Different,
so
yes.
So it's not so,
so
easy.
So only when it appears. Otherwise, we try to pinpoint exactly here or exactly here, but when it appears, then it can be known.
Only then. So it's really difficult. I thought when it is thinking of concepts, it's not doubt, but it is. It can still be. So it's rather complicated, I think.
Like with everything more and more subtle, like we have one example, oh, it's a doubt in the triple gem, it's just one example, but we can find in daily life more and more subtle, and it can there can be doubt at any time, unexpected.
Yes.
It's sounding from the conversation that we're talking about doubt about beliefs. You know, is there a God? Is there a soul? Is there a self? Is there life after death? Is this kindness? Now, that's not necessarily a belief. But, you know, we're not talking about worry, and we're not talking about crossing the road. Do I, you know, which way do I turn? Or what do I do next? Do I take this job? Don't I? That kind of thing. That's not the kind of doubt we're talking about, right? My last two examples. I know it's hard to do it by example, because it's not the known moment.
Yeah, it seems like if doubt was related to wrong view, that's the impression I get from the conversation. As if doubt and wrong view had to arise together.
When you say
or condition.
I doubt about avicca, you mean that you doubt the word or the reality which is avicca?
Sorry, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, I did it.
When you say I doubt about avicca, do you mean that you doubt the word avicca? Or the reality which is avicca?
I have no doubts about avicca, Ajahn. I didn't say that, did I?
I mean, as example.
If you were to say.
If you say. I doubt about avicca. You mean that you doubt about the word avicca, whether it's in Bodhisattva, in Pali and so on, or you doubt about the reality of avicca?
The meaning of avicca.
Just the meaning. So you can ask anyone about that. It comes from Pali. What does it mean? But what about doubt about reality? Avicca of what? Of the word? Or of the reality which we use the word avicca to represent its nature?
Right.
So we have to find out what is that? Doubt about what?
So if it's doubt about the word, it's probably not wichikicha.
Right or left?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Who's that person I haven't met before, something like that?
Right.
Yeah.
But if I have doubt about what avicca actually
whether
is, the
now,
characteristic of avicca.
Whether it's now nama or rupa.
Right. If it's nama
that
or
is
if
doubt.
It's rupa.
Yeah. That's why when no one understands the characteristic of doubt, they assume that every word, everything is doubt about that. But actually, when one has no doubt about reality, even there's doubt about names and who's there, it doesn't matter because it's not doubt about reality, just thinking about with uncertainty, not sure, don't know. Don't know the name, the concept, the word, not avijja.
And even if it's, say, before the Buddha's time, like the example I gave, thinking, was this jhana attained or not? It's a concept, but it's about reality. So it's thinking about a concept with doubt about what that experience was, or thinking with doubt about, well, was that wrong view a moment ago?
Well, that could be like, am I happy now or not? But I wonder what... Is that vichikicca or not?
You doubt about the word or what?
Or the about the reality of
and that is that about reality.
I think Ajahn is saying a doubt about the present moment reality, though. Your example is doubt about a reality of a few moments ago, right?
And I'm also thinking that the Sotapanna, he gets rid of doubt and also gets rid of wrong view. So maybe it's related.
But they are different.
Sorry?
Related but not arising together, yes. If there's no wrong view, there's no doubt. But different realities arising with different kinds of cittas.
Also, if there's no doubt, there's no wrong view, right? I mean, if doubt has been eradicated, that's what I mean.
And when wrong view is eradicated, doubt is eradicated.
And vice versa.
If you like, but wrong view is what is eradicated first. It's wrong because of wrong view that there is doubt, because of clinging to the idea of self, of wrong view. So if there's no wrong view, no doubt about reality at all.
Can doubt arise together with wrong view?
I don't know in Abhidhamma terms.
We don't know anything until we hear the teachings of the Buddha.
Right.
So what did Buddha say about it? Can doubt arise with wrong view? That's why we learn the teachings, to understand better.
Right.
So the question now is about, can doubt arise with wrong view?
I don't know what to answer. I don't know if anybody else would like to answer. No, it cannot?
They're mutually exclusive, so they cannot arise together, but they could arise at different moments quite quickly, but they cannot arise at exactly the same moment together. That's a really good question. I could say that, but I'd like to hear from Ajahn.
Why they can't arise together, Ajahn?
They cannot arise together. Why?
Why, yeah.
Because as long there is doubt, it cannot be wrong understanding or right understanding. What's right and what's wrong. But when there is wrong understanding, atimokkha is there with wrong view, but not together with vichikicca. That's why there are two types of moha mulajitta, one with vichikicca and the other one is without vichikicca. So as long as it is still doubt, atimokkha cetasika, it's not there because there is doubt. But when one has wrong understanding, one take it firmly or grasp it, cling to it as it's right, but it's wrong. Atimokkha can arise with kusala or akusala, but it cannot arise with vichikicca.
Atimokkha is determination or resolution. We mentioned it briefly yesterday. So moments of wrong view or right view, all moments of kusala and all moments of akusala, apart from moha, must have adimokkha with it. Determination. At that moment of wrong view, there's no hesitation, there's no wavering. it's determined, it's convinced, it's right. There's no questioning of, is this really a table? It is a table with that's, wrong view.
That's why
it's
they
say, sure at that moment.
That's why it is said that wrong view is so powerful, right?
And that also speaks to your question too, Rotti, before about, you know, people who are really convinced about their beliefs, you know, that aspect of really being certain about it, but really it's a question.
I'm still puzzled by something, because I heard Ajahn say a few minutes ago that doubt is about reality. So I'm not quite sure about this.
Reality is a concept. When we use the word avicca, it represents a reality. But we have doubt about reality, but we understand what is meant by avicca. The word means what? But the reality of avicca is not known yet. Kun Sundra, do you remember the different words we use for the reality, which is vichikicca, and the one which is not the vichikicca, but it's daily doubt?
I'm not too sure of your question, Ajahn.
Question is, what is the Pali word that is used when, for example, if we talk about the reality vichikicca, about the realities of life, but when it's just ordinary thinking about left or right or common use of doubt, what is the Pali term for that?
Doubt in general, that's a good question. I'll find out, but I'm not too sure of that.
There are two words, the one which is the reality, which is vichikicca.
I see.
And the
okay.
other is used
okay.
for...
Okay. Yeah. There's bound to be like that. But I'm sure also... Yeah, there's probably bound to be another word like that. But often, as we know, Ajahn, sometimes the word that the Buddha used was a word that was conventionally understood. Like viriya, for example, we know would have been used for energy and the like, yeah. But also he used it for sammāvayāma. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it can be confusing. That's why it's so important. To understand, try to learn to understand gradually what these words are in reality, and that takes, you know, careful consideration.
When I arrived here, I tried many different things, and I'd circled the globe and been to over 50 countries and tried, you know, various meditation. But when I arrived at this center, I knew. Not I, but Panya knows that this is it. Search is over, done. And after the first one, muddled in thought and questions, Sukin and a group of us went for coffee. And then it was just, you know, how could I liken it? Like archery, the arrow hits the target. There's no doubt about it. And when much of my time is ignorance and concepts lost, muddled in thought, and then there's doubt about concepts which aren't useful. So it's doubt and ignorance and thinking on and on, analysis, and that's gotten less and less. So in the moment, I'm just with whatever is, and then the thinking, the concepts, and the doubt happen subsequently. And sometimes it is right there, and then I'm with that. But what it points to, all these cetasikas, worry, doubt, and so on, they're cetasikas. It points to anattaness, not self. So not so involved kind of a thing.
I don't know the word for that, which is not reality, but we use the term like, I doubt about this or that. I don't know.
It's canker, like in the Kesamurti
Sutta. That is another aspect, but the word, can we use what we can understand, artificial?
So for example, the example I gave, like, is there a soul here, or will I be reborn? You would say this is not vichikicca?
As long as there is vichikicca, it conditions enough the vichikicca of
that idea. Concept. Yes. So it's conditioned by vichikicca.
As soon as the vichikicca hasn't eradicated yet, it's like that. But when vichikicca is completely, absolutely eradicated, but there's still the idea as artificial vichikicca, but not the reality of vichikicca. It looks, it seems like, yeah.
But no more those kind of ideas, because vichikicca has been completely eradicated, so no more thought or doubt, is there a soul or will I be reborn?
Even there can be doubt about name.
Names or weather, but not that kind of concept. But those kind of ideas are conditioned by vichikicca.
When Sariputta didn't realize who he spoke with, like someone, and he didn't know what the name of that person at all. Did he have avicca? See, it's the same as vichikicca.
Definitely not those kinds of ideas about life or meaning or soul or anything like that. So concepts about realities.
So are you saying that when there's wondering about whether there's rebirth or if there is a soul, is it a kind of like superficial vichikicca that is conditioned by the vichikicca that has not been eradicated?
What can be known is avicca, and when it's doubt, it's there. Whether you have the reality of doubt still not has been eradicated yet, it can be that conditioned doubt about concept of many, many lines. But when there is no vichikicca anymore, it's completely eradicated. But still there is what, but not doubt about realities.
Sarah, you were right there before, because you gave me the hint there when you said kanka, which comes from the verb kankati. Doubted was uncertain, being unsettled, one who was doubting or wavering. So that being unsettled, one who was doubting or wavering, is different from the reality of vichikicca.
I think so it's used in the case of Putta Sutta, kanka, but you may doubt kanka, but I think it's another word for vichikicca. I think it's referring to the reality of
doubting. You do think it's referring to the reality of it. Okay.
Can you say the word again?
Well, for example, when people translate the Kesaputta, the Kalama Sutta, often they say it's good to doubt or something, but actually, it's you may doubt, and they use the word kanka, which is another word for vichikicca. Actually, both words are used in the sutta. K-A-N-K-H-A.
Yeah, kanka. That's it. Yeah, that's a good example, Sarah, that sutta, because the Buddha was speaking to the Kalamas and saying it is good to sometimes have doubts about what you've heard. And Sarah pointed out, I didn't realize that, but that makes sense to me, that they'd use the word kanka or kankati, or depending on obviously the Pali and what case or whatever, it would depend on, so it's okay to have that sometimes, but yeah, and maybe they are synonymous terms, but my understanding would be that the reality of vichikicca would seem to be very different from that aspect of kanka that's referred to in the Kalama Sutta. Although the Buddha is encouraged, you know, he's saying to the Kalamas, it's good sometimes that you...
Not it's good. It's no wonder you have...
You're bound to doubt.
Yes, that's right.
It's
thank
bound
you.
It's to good. Happen, yes. Yeah,
Jonathan pointed out a very good and subtle point that's very appropriate, that it's that you will have doubt, not good to, but you're bound to have doubt sometimes, and that's understandable.
What about a sutta about Kosinkala pa Kosinkasala, the Arahantas, Sariputta and Anuruddha, they stay there and they just talk about what makes this garden, or I don't know, it's a forest of wood, but beautiful. And they have different idea, so they went to see Buddha and asked him, what is that? Vichikicca? Right. See?
But they're all different kinds of arahats, with just showing different accumulations, and for one who attained the jhanas and have special powers, and yes, different.
From this sutta, we can understand the difference between the reality which is vichikicca and that which is concept.
I found four words about doubt. I don't know if this translation is correct, but I would like to read it. The first one is gangkha or sangkha, which means doubt about things that you have never heard or never known before. The second one is vichikicca. Translation here is uncertainty. The third one is vimatitta, which means doubt about things that you may have heard before or known before. And the last one is sasayo, which means general doubt. This is a translation from this website. Sangsayo.
Kanka and vichikicca are referring to doubt about realities, vichikicca, but this is about just in general, like the sanseo, about which way or anything,
exactly.
What's the weather going to be like. And the third one, vimatitta.
Vimatitta. I'm not sure if I say it right. Yeah, it's in Pali. Vimatitta. Or vimatitta. It means doubt about things that you have heard of, known before, like names.
A conventional one.
Seem like that, yes. It seemed like the opposite of gangkha or sangkha.
Vimatti, which is doubt or perplexity. So we can see there are many different words that relate to doubt, but I think what's important again is to understand the reality of vichikicca, which is different from all these other variations, which can refer to a kind of doubt, but my understanding is that vichikicca refers to a specific reality which is very different from all these different types of conventional doubts.
Jan Kanka is referring to the vichikicca as well. Is that what you understand?
Actually, you're right. I think you may be right, because there is a sutta I seem to vaguely remember called the Kanka Vitarani or something like that. And I'll see if I can locate that. But I can imagine in the Abhidhamma we've got the word vichikicca, which would seems to be the one that's we have for reality of vichikicca.
As long as vichikicca hasn't eradicated completely yet, there can be different degrees of vichikicca. For example, when you have something in mind like a Sariputta and Anuruddha, that cannot be kankha, because the vichikicca of that level or extent is not as wrong as other levels.
I didn't quite hear Ajahn properly.
My question was whether kanka and vichikicca are synonyms, or whether kanka was a kind of vichikicca. And I understood from what she said that kanka is like a level or degree of vichikicca. So there are gross and more subtle kinds of vichikicca. So maybe no more kanka or gross doubt, but more subtle vichikicca, which is only eradicated by the sotapanna.
Like when you say, I'm not sure. See, that is kanka.
But the last two are more like conventional kinds of doubt. Ha and Gung, I heard you had some other questions you wanted to bring up.
On this continuation of the understanding about doubt, I would like to know about the moment when things is forgotten. Then is it anything with avijja or doubt there when there is something forgotten?
And how can you know? How can you know?
You mean know about something forgotten?
That is just hearing about it.
How can you know the answer to your question?
Not yet. I am a little bit wondering about the sanya. There is always sanya, but when we forget things, sanya is there. An example. Now we hear about doubt, about vichikicca, but maybe a little bit later, somebody mentioned about vichikicca, then I forget the words. I didn't understand the meaning of the word vichikicca, for example.
And how can you know?
We can mention many words or give many definitions or look it up in the dictionary, but how can it be known now at this moment of maybe I forgot where I put my glasses or I forgot to bring something or I forgot what the answer was? How can it be known whether there is vichikicca at this moment?
I'm wondering, is it vichikicca or is it anicca?
So at the moment of wondering, at the moment of being unsure now, is there a vichikicca now?
I think there is always vichikicca. Anicca.
Sure or not sure?
Vichikicca is not sure.
What about now? Sure or not sure about whether there is vichikicca now?
Now I'm sure about vichikicca because still wondering, still doubting.
So when there is sure, it's not vichikicca, but when it's anicca. Wondering and not sure, and is this vichikicca or is it not vichikicca, that is vichikicca. So Ajahn asked you how the answer can be known. Like we can say this and this, and we can talk about this situation or that situation. But if it doesn't appear now, if there is no doubt now, if there's no vichikicca, then it can't be known. So if it doesn't appear, nothing can be known about it. But when it appears, it can be known.
It is not yet known to the ultimate meaning, but conventionally, can it be explained about it?
Even it's there, can it be known?
To our understanding now, no. To my understanding, no.
If this moment is not known yet, it's impossible to know what's there. Now, vichikicca is there, it's not known.
The problem is that we can talk about the different mental factors and what their description is, but when we talk about situations, it's like trying to pinpoint, is this such and such or not? No one can say. Only the person themselves can know at that moment whether it's A or B or a combination. So we can talk, as I say, about doubt and what its characteristic and function is. And that's as far as we can take it. There's no point in trying to pinpoint for this situation or that situation, or just be A or B. It's not helpful because it can be anything when the time comes. When that situation next arises, it could be quite different from what we are conceiving about when we are having this discussion. That's why Ajahn says, how can it be known? Only the person themselves can know at the time. Having learnt about the different mental factors and their characteristics, and if there are conditions for awareness and understanding to arise. We are tempted to try and identify in our daily life this or that kind of situation. Is it ignorance? Is it doubt? Is it attachment? Is it with wrong view or without wrong view? Is it patience or not patience? Not possible.
And at those moments, it's like a question Anne asked yesterday, and it seemed that she felt she wasn't expressing it rightly or that we weren't understanding. But the point was, it has to be now. And when it's trying to work out, or in the situation of driving and turning left and right, or when forgetting the shopping bag in the shop, and can there be vichikicca? It's the I, the self, trying to find the reality. It's not the understanding of Dhamma which appears right now. So if there is vichikicca now, like, is this right, is this wrong, is this vichikicca? This is vichikicca that can be known right now when it appears. But if it doesn't appear and we're just thinking about different scenarios, then it's just speculating, because who knows, while driving and taking the wrong turns, maybe there's moments of vichikicca, who knows? But it can't be known now, because it's all gone.
May I say something? I think that the Buddha's aim was never to teach about if one wants to go right or decides to go left. Everything he teaches about is Dhamma, realities, and not stories.
And by all means, please don't worry about whether you're in doubt or not, because it sounds to me going the opposite direction about being muddled in thought and analysis and concepts takes away from the here and the now. A chance, a valuable chance for understanding, for, you know, something useful.
And the important point is whether it's vichikicca or doubt or avijja or any other reality, it's just a dharma that arises and passes away and is nothing. It's not my doubt, it's not my wrong view. It's just gone instantly, just another dharma of no special significance. And whether there is understanding of doubt or wrong view or seeing or visible object or kindness or understanding, it doesn't matter in the slightest, because it's just a conditioned dharma.
Are we sick now? The destination is so far. And can we get up and walk? Well, we are so sick that we cannot even get up. It's like now talking about the destination, the end of dukkha, the end of kilesa. Without medicine, the right one, can the sick one just get up by oneself and walk to the point? See? So we have to understand that this is theoretical understanding or knowledge. But without this, there is no medicine or support to condition the body to get well enough to even just get up. So we have to understand the ignorance, how much is there. And we just learn to understand what is there, little by little. But doubt comes in by conditions. But in order to understand the word of the Buddha, it's not just the intellectual understanding. But without it, there cannot be direct understanding of what is heard now as seeing, hearing, thinking. So we have to understand that the point is to understand the difference between intellectual understanding and the direct understanding. And it's now, everything is now. Without medicine, how can there be the moment of be able to even just get up? Is there any satipatthana? Who can answer? No one can answer for the other at all. Just one's own understanding, which doesn't mistake that which is not that satipatthana as satipatthana. So it has to be very careful considering about now there are only realities, but not is known to sati. So just hearing about no self, no one, and it's the moment of trying by virya, not I, to understand that which appears. This is a point. Anyone arising and falling away so rapidly. But it doesn't matter at all because they are dhammas, no one, no self. Just beginning to understand that the way is so long and one is so sick. So don't just rush to get up and walk. It's wrong. That's all. So is there any doubt about the direct understanding? It's now, everything now, arising and falling away, appears and disappears. If there is no understanding of this word clearly and clearly, there is a self who is trying so much to do this, and understand that, and to think about this and that, on and on. So what is real now? See, it's the way to condition direct awareness to it, what is real now. All in the book. But the understanding from the teachings of the Buddha is so helpful. It's a condition, each word, different word. So whatever happens in the day, when there is more and more certain about the truth, that it is not I, it will lead to the moment of experiencing that which is not I, no I. So when we think of Dhamma carefully, wisely, it will condition moment of direct understanding of reality right now by conditions, anatta. If the self is trying so much, so hard to know, it's wrong. That's why it's so much difficult to have no one there to develop understanding. That's why I think that in Thailand and other places too in the world doesn't have right understanding of the development of Panya. Lopa is there so great, lead them to ignorance more and more, clinging more and more. That's why not everyone can understand that it has to be the understanding of whatever appears with awareness and right understanding. Without right understanding, it's impossible to understand that it's not I, it's not thing. And how much we have medicine, how many kinds of medicine to have less ignorance, that's all. but there is I all the time, see? But the understanding of no I, no self is there, little by little, can condition what the Buddha said, each word can be directly experienced. That's why there are three levels of studying the teachings, intellectual understanding. And then the moment of awareness, it studies, it works its way to begin to understand the characteristic which is now hidden all the time. What appears is only the object which is seen, heard, and so on. But the eye is there, the five khandhas clinging to nama and rupa. So it's not just one object can bring about the understanding of no self. What that is object of self or the idea of self before must be reality, not self, little by little. So each word of the teaching brings about less attachment. When it's with attachment, it's not right at all. It's I who tried very much to understand or to get the truth. But the truth is now, anytime, anywhere. What about the kanika marana?
The momentary death. Like the momentary arising and falling away of realities.
No doubt about birth and death, and birth and death.
Each moment.
What is the difference between kanika marana and sammati marana? Each word, see, it can be understood.
Kanika marana and samuti marana. Conventional death. Like we discussed yesterday, the kanika, the momentary death, is at this moment the arising and falling away of each reality. So Ajahn's question is, what is the conventional death, the samuti marana?
Is there any difference?
No, I would say no, because after chuticitta, patisandicitta arises.
Is there anything, even a little, makes the difference between the samadhi and the kanika, death?
So if we say someone has died in conventional language at the end of this life and they've passed away, this is conventional death, samuti marana. Is it the same as kanika marana?
No, it's different. Also, samuti marana refers just to chuticitta, whereas kanika marana, every moment of consciousness.
The end of this personality.
Death as we're used to thinking of it, as opposed to momentary death at each moment, including that moment, because it's just another moment. So different from conventional death.
The kanika marana can only be realized when the arising and falling away of nama and rupa has been penetrated by the first vipassana jnana. Otherwise, we have no idea.
Rising and falling away by the third or fourth vipassana jnana. Yeah. Not the first. Yeah.
Ajahn, the medicine is panya, is that correct?
Yes. Which conditions panya?
Or the Buddha's teaching, which conditions panya?
And the sick patient, or all the kilesa, all the defilements that we've been talking about, the ignorance, the wrong view, the attachment, the doubt. This is the sickness.
is the moment of death is like moment of Pavanga?
No one knows.
Did you say, Ajahn, is the moment of death the moment of Pavanga?
But it doesn't perform the function of life continuum.
The kind of citta is exactly the same. Same citta, same citta seekers, same object, just it has a different function. So yesterday we talked about cittas having different functions, and sometimes one citta can have more than one function at different times. So the Patisandhi citta, the Bhavanga cittas, the Chuti cittas, exactly the same kind of citta, exactly the same Vipaka citta, but the function at birth, the function during life, and the function at death are different, that's all.
So this death is not frightening at all, just like the sleeping moment. Exactly, it can be any moment after the procession of the seeing, hearing, smelling. Pavanga is there. Instead of Pavanga, it can be death. Any moment. Unknown, unknowingly. Yeah. It's just like ordinary. Kanika marana. But when it cannot keep this personality on and on as usual, as before, then it is the sammati marana, but not final, samuccheda, because it's only the death of arahata. Can anyone see the danger of the world, of the arising and falling away, or of birth and death? See? Still sick.
Catch that, Gabby. So three kinds of death, the Karnika Marana, the momentary death at each moment, the Samuti Marana, conventional death, so only the at the end of this life, the end of this personality is their conventional death, and the Samucheda Marana, which is the cutting off death, which it's just the death of the arahat when no more conditions for arising of any dhammas at all.
Just sitting here and next moment not here. Right?
Not like ordinary sleep because no waking up.
It's not frightening at all. It's like seeing and then Pavanga and then hearing. Instead of Pavanga, it can be death. Anytime. By conditions. That's why the best thing in life is the understanding what is now. Because we forget everything. We're so enjoyful. Many years ago or many months ago, and the suffering is gone, everything, see? Just this moment, which is now gone all the time, completely, never to return, like death, just like death. So learn about seeing, hearing, whatever appears, otherwise it's gone without understanding.
Ajahn, we are talking about doubt, and besides doubt, there's any other aspect of moha? I think that we have some other aspect of moha.
As long as there is no understanding, there can be doubt anytime.
But
and what's the
doubt?
Use of having doubt?
Yes.
No use at all. But the understanding will eliminate doubt little by little. Without understanding, doubt is there. Vichikicca anusaya, latent tendency.
I mean, for the Sotapanna who has no more doubt, is there still moha?
Yes.
When is there moha? And who has no more moha at all?
Arahat.
Only the Arahat.
Yeah.
So, and what about now, like whether it's for the Sotapanna or for us right now, are there moments now when there is no lobha, no dosa, no doubt, but still no understanding, no kusala, no knowing anything?
So only moha at that time and without doubt.
Without doubt, yes. So usually moha is so common. So when it's not with doubt, it's just ordinary moha, just not knowing, not understanding. So we discussed whenever there's any kind of akusala attachment, dosa, wrong view, there must be moha at those moments. But even now, when there's no attachment, no aversion, but no kusala, moha. But usually it doesn't appear, so it's not known. But it's there. Like we may think sometimes there's no attachment, but what about the moha? And if there was no moha or avijja, would there be any attachment or any aversion or any kilesa? They all depend on avijja or moha.
If anyone who never heard about the Dhamma, so at the moment without doubt, actually there's, we cannot
non-stop
say that...
Non-stop moha. No. Like for the animal, maybe not much, no conditions for wrong view, or maybe doubt, no, maybe no conditions for doubt, but all day long, lobha and moha and dosa. Just all depending on conditions. So when one understands about dharmas, just because it doesn't arise or doesn't appear doesn't mean it's not there, that the tendency is not there, conditioning it throughout the day. Like someone might think they have no doubt about the Buddha's teachings, but what about all the moha, not understanding, not knowing anything?
It's clear. Yeah, thank you.
Achan, you remind us about the different levels of panya, and I am very much want to know about the direct understanding in connection with the arising of panya, because at the moment of seeing, I'm still wondering that there isn't a direct understanding right at the moment there, but panya can arise at the same time of the seeing. Is that the right understanding or wrong?
Can there be direct awareness of a reality without right understanding?
No.
So at that moment there is understanding conditioned by intellectual understanding, so great. Because you see that even we talk about death, no matter momentarily, or the samuti, or the smucheta, exactly the same, like before hearing it. Does anyone see the danger of the birth and death just from there? But thinking over it, about the kanika marana, and even kanika marana cannot eradicate the clinging to the self or the being yet. So it's a great panya which can develop to the degree that it can have the panya which sees this moment as very dangerous. See? Because these are the words of the Buddha, talk about everything, but if one does not condition with right understanding, it just doesn't help. But even hearing with right understanding, who knows that that is the little elimination of the self or wrong understanding. It doesn't mean that we know this and we will have great understanding of no self. It's not like that. But each word brings about the understanding of the danger, the first noble truth, that is this danger or is it dangerous, this moment? Otherwise we don't have something to motivate the studying, learning to understand the truth. See? So it takes quite a long, long time, and one can see that even we talk so much about anything, when it's not the direct understanding of reality right now, it's just the conditions, sometimes, not all the time. And when we think of the other things in life, we think about those more than just the truth of each moment. That's why the way to have less attachment, less clinging, is the words of Buddha about the truth until it becomes the noble truth, the first noble truth. How many jetasikas arise with seeing?
Chetasika, you mean chetasika when the seeing arise?
How many jetasikas arise with the moment of seeing?
7.
Is there panya? 2?
No.
So it comes from understanding, not just the answer. And the reason is why? Keep on understanding each moment, not just follow and just remember.
The level of the first panya is what? What is the first level of panya? Is that the understanding?
Just panya.
No, just when the very little panya arises with very little understanding. You just talk about see the danger of the reality.
So just one word at a time, whether there is the understanding or skill enough to understand that word clearly and thoroughly. What is Dhamma?
Dhamma is everything that
not
appears.
Self. Not self. No I. This is the beginning.
All my condition.
Why is not I? See, keep on considering. And are you sure now that there is no I?
Normally, yes.
Because it does not appear as Dhamma yet. It appears as something all the time. So just one word, it's the beginning of understanding, because all now, everything now is Dhamma. But we take it for people and things, shape and form.
So hearing and considering what is Dhamma now, and about two kinds of Dhammas, this is the beginning of understanding. But when Ajahn was talking about the understanding of the danger of realities and samsara, this is very high level of understanding. But the considering can begin now. There can be the considering now whether the seeing which falls away instantly and is immediately the object of clinging, whether it's satisfactory, whether it's unsatisfactory, is it worthwhile or is it dangerous? Because as soon as it's arisen, it falls away, and then there is clinging instantly, which brings all the problems in life. And then on and on and on, because of ignorance and clinging, life after life, clinging and ignorant about whatever arises, which falls away and is actually nothing. So is it worthwhile or is it dangerous to continue having such moments of seeing and clinging and hearing and ignorance and so on over and over, life after life? So even though it's not any direct understanding about the arising and falling away of realities
or about the danger of realities. There can just be a beginning of considering that life is different from how we used to think of it before. We used to think that it's so good to see and hear and have happy feelings and enjoy food. Everything seems so worthwhile. But there can be the beginning of considering how absolutely useless it is to just wake up and see and hear and cling and continue on and on to what is nothing.
Yesterday you mentioned about the understanding at the level of satipatthana and the level of vipassana understanding, and I would like to hear a little bit more explanation about it so that I can be clear.
Like we said, now when we just talk about different dhammas, what is the meaning of dhamma, how there is seeing and it's not I who see, it's hearing, not I who hears. It's just a dhamma that arises and falls away from nothing, something, nothing. So this is the beginning of wise considering, intellectual understanding, but it's not the direct understanding of that dhamma, seeing, when it appears. Like we said, we can talk about the story of vicikicca or doubt, and there can be the beginning of right intellectual understanding, but when it's the characteristic of that vicikicca appears and there is direct understanding of it, it's different. It's a deeper understanding, and these are the moments of satipatthana, when it's the direct understanding of the characteristic of that dhamma which appears right now, not another situation that happened in the past or in the future, but right at this moment. No doubt, no thought about how little or much or what will happen next or anything like that. So those are moments of satipatthana, but at those moments of satipatthana, the understanding understands that reality well, but it's not clearly like when it is moments of insight, vipassana jnana. Like now, there can be talking about the danger of realities, intellectual level, or there may be, it will lead to the direct understanding. But when it's vipassana jnana, it's very clear understanding of different namas and rupas at different degrees, and eventually it's the direct understanding of the arising and falling away of those realities and the danger. But it has to begin with the wise considering about what is reality now at this moment.
I just want to make it clear at the moment of such a patana that the characteristics of a dhamma appears, and then it is not any rupa or nama.
It has to be rupa or nama. For example, when there is direct understanding of hardness at this moment, not an idea and not something that is hard, but just that reality, it is a rupa that is hard. Mm-hmm. But at that moment of direct understanding, it just understands that dhamma as it is. No name, no thought. This is a rupa, this is hardness. Mm-hmm. It's just that characteristic. And that's why hardness is hardness, no matter its experience in the sense door or the mind door. It's just that reality.
Can I just go back to what you asked about at the beginning, and that is the beginning level or lower level of panya, because it's very important for all of us, I think. And in addition to Ajahn's comments about the characteristic of not self, one of the things that is mentioned quite often in the suttas is the six different worlds that we spoke about yesterday. And the first of those that's always mentioned is the world of seeing and visible object, and the feeling that accompanies that experience, and also the thinking that is conditioned by those experiences, and the world of hearing and sound. And the important thing here is that these are completely different worlds, because for us now there is no real distinguishing between the different worlds. We take it as being a composite experience of what is seen, heard, smelt, tasted, touched, and thought about. But the Buddha explained that each of these worlds has to be known in its own right as a world with its own characteristics, including, of course, as far as the sense doors are concerned, seeing, which is a nama, and visible object, which is a rupa, and likewise hearing and sound and body sense and the temperature and hardness, etc. So although there's no particular order in which panya develops and as to what it knows first, we can say that one of the basic aspects that panya will be concerned with is the six worlds now appearing.
If we don't talk about now, can anyone think about it? If we don't talk about nama and rupa, does anyone think about it? See, so it needs hearing the teachings on and on and on, as much as one can see the benefit of hearing it. Because without the teachings of the Buddha, no understanding of what appears at all. But it has to be from hearing, without the understanding of the different characteristics of different worlds. How can there be the understanding precisely of each world as it is? That's why we hear it again, think about it again, consider it again and again, and see the benefit, the very precious moment of understanding reality right now, until it's there. See, because from hearing one knows that it's not yet the direct awareness, but it will be conditioned, and many, many conditions from this moment to condition the moment of direct awareness.